A very good morning to you, ladies and gentlemen. And if you're just tuning in the first time, welcome to Eagle FM. This is your number one talk radio station in the land. And thanks for tuning us this morning. And it's always our pleasure to be in your company. And thanks for choosing us, for making us your number one choice. And to be in your company at this morning. My name is Michael Cervini, and you're tuned into Unpacking the Day, the show where we dive deep into the stories, events, and issues that shape our world. This show is all about breaking down the headlines, exploring the context behind the news, and understanding how it impacts our lives. So whether it is the latest development in politics, business, culture, or social issues, we are here to make sense of it all together. But it is not just us. It's not just about us talking. It is about you. Share your thoughts, opinions, and perspective on the topics that matter most to you. This is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So our time is about 35 minutes past the hour of 7, and today is the 24th of April, 2025. So let's look at what happened on this day in Africa. So, and on April 24, 1960, Togo became independent from French colonial rule with Silvanus Olympio becoming the country's first president. And this was this event was part of the broader wave of African nation gaining independence during the 1960s, making a significant milestone in Pan-African history. On this day, the influential political and philosophical thought of Ghana's first president and Pan-Africanist Kwame Nkrumah were compiled in the book Axioms of Kwame Nkrumah. So the book articulated his vision for African unity and socialism impacting Pan-African movement continent-wide. Oliver Tambo, former leader of the African National Congress, the ANC, and a key figure in the anti-apartheid struggle in South Africa, passed away on April 24, 1993, in Johannesburg after a prolonged illness. Tambo was instrumental in the fight for liberation and justice in South Africa. And on April 24, on the very same day, 24th of April 1994, the Rwandan genocide was continuing with Hutu extremists killing Tutsis and moderate Hutu. Despite the international contamination, intervention was limited and violence persisted, leading to the death of hundreds of thousands. And on 24th of April 1996, marked the ratification of South Africa's new constitution, one of the most progressive worldwide, guaranteeing equal rights for all citizens and symbolizing a new democratic era after apartheid. Yes, those are some of the significant events that happen on this day in Africa. So what is our unpacking the days, the thought for the day? So if a leader limps, all the others start limping too. If a leader limps, all the others start limping too. Now, the proverb means that the behavior, habits or shortcoming of a leader are often imitated or reflected by their followers. So if a leader display weakness, make mistakes, or set a poor example, those they lead are likely actually to adopt similar behaviors or attitude. So this highlights the powerful influence leaders have on their group or community, whether positive or negative. So in essence, the proverb warns that the flaws or failing of those in authority can spread throughout an organization or a society, so emphasizing the importance of strong ethical and competent leadership qualities that our president possesses. So good morning to you. If you're just joining us, this is Unpacking at the Day. So when I come back, we get into what we have in store for you this morning. Stay tuned. We will be back.
Omudiha with the Kirokabuna, E. Matina, Omjo. She goes a fat and anana, long as she fat, yai, she became a shiwana. E. Moyawa, or Tango got some money. Ana, she fat, Yanamibia, on the Tomba Nawa, or Jika. The Ethanina, Omeguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongishi Fire, Kupitramo, Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe 22 ni ha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwa shifareki uimu po iyo mwe programa detu. Moambo dengira selma kwa nara heta tuimu. Datunda tu heari hamano tano o ambiyaj. Eagle FM. Go ahead.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lodritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Onthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So, fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who you know does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? Either a person doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. Uh-huh. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we have been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that we're has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something the media will not be able to achieve in the future.
A very good morning to you. If you're just joining us, welcome to Unpacking the Day. Today, as the nation eagerly await President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah's inaugural state of the nation address, we find ourselves at a defining moment in Namibia's socio-economic journey. This sauna holds immense significance as it is not only sets the tone for her administration, but also seeks to address the pressing challenges of unemployment, inequalities, and development stagnation. Now, to help us unpack the expectation, hopes, and potential drawbacks of today's address, we are joined by Mr. Herbert Jah, a labor researcher and a social justice activist. Good morning, Mr. Herbert, and thank you for joining us today.
Good morning. Thank you very much for the invitation.
All right. Let's begin by looking at the broader picture. What does this sauna represent for Namibia at this point in its history, and what are the stakes for President Nandi-Ndaitwah as she prepares to address the nation today?
Yes, it's quite significant when you look at what has happened over the past 35 years.
Yeah.
10 years ago, when the then new president, the late Dr. Hage Geingob, came in, he talked about that nobody should be left out, that poverty should be eradicated, and the hopes were very high.
Yeah.
But then what actually happened is that in these last 10 years, from the data we have, poverty doubled in Namibia between 2016 and 2023, and unemployment reached record high. Now, with the latest data, 54% of unemployment. So Namibia is at the point where you clearly can say this is going to crack. This is not going to, it's not possible to continue like that with youth being so massively affected by unemployment. And with people, even those who have still some jobs, not being able to make a living. So this is the context in which this SONA happens today. Now, the new president, Mthombo Nandi Ndaitwa, was very courageous in her first steps that she did to show that she will do certain things very differently. Number one, of course, the cabinet appointments was clearly very different from the way it was done in the past. Number two, she said, look, let's not judge a book by its cover. Give us a time to show that we can do things differently. And number three, she's very well aware that she's being watched very closely, that Namibians now do no longer expect just nice speeches and promises, but they want to see action on the ground. So the SONA today happens against this background, and I think many people expect now some very concrete indications of how the new administration is going to change certain things. Of course, as all politicians do, there's always mention of the party manifesto, but that manifesto, like virtually all manifestos, is general and vague and doesn't give really an indication of what will happen. So the SONA address could be the first substantive announcement of what the new president is intending to change.
Yeah, so you just mentioned a manifesto, that the SWAPO manifest implementation plan is actually expected to guide these administration policies. Do you think we will see a continuation of development goal from the Bumba Hage administration, or we will see a significant shift in focus?
In terms of the general pronouncement and general goals, I think it will be a continuity. But what will be interesting to see is, will there be a shift in actual practical steps? We've seen already a greater emphasis on local processing of raw materials. It has been mentioned, of course, since independence. The idea is absolutely not new. It was mentioned in virtually every election manifesto, but very little has been done. So the question now is, will the new administration now be more specific and more concrete and say, we are going to focus on the following resources and they will be processed. We will no longer allow the export of these resources in raw form. For example, this could be an announcement that is possible and that would indicate to us then where the changes will occur.
So now, when you look at the previous administration, and this is not a blame game, a blaming game, so it's, you know, how well do you think the previous administration handled key areas like renewable energy, industrialization, and unemployment? What lesson should be carried now forward?
Previous administrations didn't take decisive steps. There was overall the belief that somehow becoming a destination for foreign direct investment would be enough. That somehow when these investments come, they will also solve Namibia's economic and social problems. Now, that was a misconception from beginning to end. It was, of course, not only driven in Namibia, it has clear international global dimension. That the IMF, the World Bank, and organizations like that, generally the global businesses pushed that line under the neoliberal agenda. And Namibia, like so many other countries, fell prey to it. We are now, and this is why I mentioned these recent statistics over the last 10 years. When you look at the actual conditions in the country, we are at the point of a major crisis. So I think this background hopefully helps the new administration to say, no, we cannot go on like that. And particularly if oil and gas now enter the fray in terms of the economy in Namibia, and we've seen not only with our neighbors Angola and a bit further Nigeria and others, how catastrophic oil can be for a host country. I think also the new president's announcement that she will have oil and gas under her own ministry to avoid the usual deals that oil companies make with local elites could be an indication that Namibia wants to learn some lessons, and that we are going to be a bit more specific.
Yeah.
But that will also mean you have to go up against vested interests, capital, huge global players,
yeah,
like mining industry, the oil industry. And this is not going to be an easy task, but you have to know, unless you do that,
yeah,
they're going to kind of basically run over Namibia the way they've run over most other oil-producing countries. And at some point, we must learn some lessons from history. And maybe this is, historically speaking, the point now where the administration might take those issues more seriously and say, we will learn from history and we will not continue business as usual, even though the party manifesto in its general tones don't give an indication to that extent. So it would need basically the courage now to say, based on our analysis and our conviction, we need to change certain things dramatically, and we're going to do that.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of mindset and the tone within the administration. We will not be able to turn things around. That's my view.
Yeah. Now, is there a risk that that some of today's some of today's promises might feel like repackaging ideas from previous sonas, from other previous administrations?
Absolutely, that risk is there.
Yeah.
And when people had their hopes up, I mentioned 2015, the hopes were very high, and we had sometimes presidents and politicians who were very good speakers, and so they raised expectations, and there was a sense of enthusiasm saying, now we will see a different Namibia where we are all included.
Yeah.
That was very much the sense 10 years ago. And then came the big disappointment. And that was reflected, of course, in the elections out as well, when, for example, the late Dr. Geingob was first elected, I think with around 90% of the popular vote, which is an incredible.
Yeah.
And then ended up with 53%. Towards the end, and that shows over a period of time how support declined and how actually expectations that were there had been dashed. And I think this is, like you said, this is not about an individual or one case,
yeah,
but a trend that speeches and promises that raise expectations will need to be met. Otherwise, you pay the political price. Of course, across our borders, we've seen it as well. For example, in South Africa with the ANC's election support. So this is what the administration and our new administration here now undoubtedly knows. They need to deliver something. Otherwise, the disappointment and the dissatisfaction will be great.
Yeah, and you mentioned from the very beginning, Namibia's unemployment rate remain alarmingly higher, and particularly among the youth. What immediate and maybe long-term strategy do you think this administration should propose to tackle this this crisis?
Yes, it's not only a question about employment and unemployment; it's a livelihood crisis. And I'm saying that because when you look at the data we have about earnings in Namibia, even those who are employed, 45% of them earn 3,000 Namibia dollars or less per month. So you have a scenario essentially where even some of the people, a large number of people who are employed, earn so little that they can hardly make ends meet.
Mm.
So that's why I would call it rather a livelihood crisis that we see in Namibia. And to change that around, you'd need to do several interventions. The immediate one that's possible and that would have a significant impact across the country in every household is to roll out the universal basic income grant that's been under discussion for many years, for 20 years now, and that was almost implemented 10 years ago, but then did not happen. This is something that you need to do now to immediately make a difference at household level. But then parallel to it, you change the structure of the economy. You change the ownership. You change access to resources for Namibia. And of course, you take also interventions that push Namibia towards a living wage.
Yeah.
That's mentioned in our constitution, but practically we've not taken steps to do that. So you need to have like a variety of strategies to achieve that. But as a starting point and to see an immediate not only in terms of survival, but also in terms of economic stimulation, because the money spent on a basic income grant would circulate in the local economy, and that would be a necessary stimulus to turn things around. So these are some of the I'd see for government today.
Yeah, you know, the green hydrogen and renewable energy projects have been touted, you know, if you like, for lack of a better word, has been really touted as economic game changers. And are these sectors enough to create the job Namibian desperately needs?
Yeah, and there was unfortunately a lot of hype, particularly green hydrogen.
Yeah.
And it was sometimes really almost a fantasy world that was kind of presented instead of the real thing. Even the large hydrogen projects would create something like 12 to 15,000 jobs in the construction phase, and then far fewer jobs after that. Now, when you compare those job numbers to the unemployment rate, and it's negligible. So it's certainly not a game changer from that perspective.
Yeah.
There is another aspect to the whole energy debate, and that is, could Namibia not become a leading country in terms of self-sufficiency in energy based on renewable energy? And that is the question about solar, not green hydrogen. The green hydrogen project is essentially set up by European interests, particularly Germany, to meet their own energy demands in terms of green hydrogen going further. And that's an important distinction to make. It was not developed. It was not developed with Namibia's development objectives in mind. It was purely developed with Germany's and Europe's interest for green energy in the future.
Yeah.
And such a starting point already sets the stage for who is the main beneficiary. And Namibia was then basically just chosen as the site of supply, similar to mining ventures, classical extractivism. So we need to also move away from that kind of approach to development. And because that's very colonial in today's condition, very neo-colonial in its orientation. We need to start an economy that looks at Namibia's needs first, jobs in the country, and not just a few jobs for on a temporary basis, and then high skilled jobs that would go probably to expats from elsewhere, and once again the kind of support staff, drivers, cooks, cleaners, etc. We need to think that through very carefully, not rush into it, particularly not be pushed by European interest into something which holds in the end maybe little benefits for Namibia. We've seen with the new president, she's taken an approach of being more sober and careful with such approaches, and particularly when it comes to providing national parks as the sites or spending huge amounts of money which we don't have, so which we don't need to be borrowed, on acquiring shares in such ventures. I think this is a very dicey proposal that needs to be considered very carefully so that we do not end up in a scenario where we burden future generations. So I think, in short, the renewable energy debate needs to also locate Namibia's own needs and what we can produce in terms of renewable energy, particularly solar, for own consumption. For Namibia, who still lack access to reliable source of power. I think that must be the starting point, where potential exports would be the add-on. And I think when you look at the picture holistically, there are some questions to be answered, and therefore some more sober approach green hydrogen might be the better option for Namibia instead of rushing into it and hailing it as the game changer going forward. There might be some aspects that are very useful for Namibia in terms of green hydrogen production, but overall, just linking us into a supply chain for Europe, that's nothing new, and that hasn't benefited in the past, Namibia in the past. And I think that's just something out of the economic and political history that we must learn and not repeat.
Man. So the other aspect is that Namibia continues really to rank among the most unequal society globally. What policies, what policy intervention do you think could effectively address wealth inequality in the country? And I would ask you to answer that when we come from this commercial break quickly. Yeah.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Statistics show that more than 12,000 road accidents were recorded in Namibia last year. Therefore, I believe zero is the only acceptable number of accidents on our roads this Easter. It is not impossible. Be responsible, do the right thing, and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Need lightning fast internet? Paratus has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Paratus' cutting-edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through our high-quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Paratus today. Visit us online at paratus.africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000.
Welcome back. All right. My question was before the commercial break what policy intervention, especially when it comes to, as I said, Namibia is one of the countries that actually ranked unequal society globally. And what policy intervention intervention do you think could effectively address wealth inequality in the country?
Yes, and that problem comes, of course, based on the fact that after independence, we didn't change structures. We achieved political independence. We've done away with the colonial apartheid. But economic structures that determine the distribution of wealth and income, they remained the same, and we're seeing it now. So what can be done? There, in terms of access to productive resources, of course, this whole land policy, and particularly willing buyer, willing seller, has just ensured that the skewed distribution of land and the elite hold over a resource like land.
Yeah.
Mining, absolutely the same. Virtually 90% of mining is owned by foreign corporations. And the mining sector is also contributing largely to what's called illicit financial outflows, where money that should be locally, in terms of taxes, is basically siphoned out of the country.
Yeah.
And then with the low wage levels, and you've even seen last or beginning of this year, the outcry over by employers over the small national minimum wage of $18 per hour. So we've had a scenario where all this inequality was entrenched, and the question now is what to do. And there are certain interventions that can be taken immediately. One I've mentioned already, introduce a universal basic income, because that will benefit disadvantaged and impoverished households immediately. Number two, introduce some taxes that are internationally very common for rich people, but which we do not even have, and that's like inheritance tax and capital gains tax. This will only affect the wealthy. And with that tax revenue, you can then ignite some redistributive measures and spending. You could, for example, channel that into a basic, the payment of a basic income grant to every Namibian.
Yeah.
I mentioned with the land reform, if anybody still wants to defend the willing buyer, willing seller, and compensation at market-related places, then you're basically saying that nothing will ever change in terms of land distribution. But also there, we need to move beyond the elite who's been basically the beneficiary of land reform so far. When you look at the resettlement program, it's often very prominent and people with high incomes, instead of making land reform an issue driven by livelihoods, by those who work the land for a living instead of hobby farmers that do it part-time. So these could be some interventions, and then coupled with that, the move towards a living wage, that these starvation wages that are so common across Namibia still need to be relegated to the dustbin of history, and we need to move towards wage levels that allow people to meet their needs. So these are, of course, not easy steps,
right? Yeah.
But in my view, this is what we have to tackle and face if we want to change the situation.
Yeah. With land, how important is land reform in tackling inequality? And do you expect it to feature prominently in the SONA today?
I don't think so. It has been debated, of course, in great detail and great length at the two national land conferences already.
Yeah.
You can see that it is an important issue for Namibians, and particularly, of course, against the background of the German genocide in Namibia and the land theft that accompanied it. It is also a question of historical justice.
Yeah.
And the land issue will remain a big, big, big issue in Namibia, although I'm not sure if it will feature very prominently in today's SONA. But with the new kind of large ministry around agriculture, it is also a recognition that the land and agricultural production and land reform is receiving some attention and is recognized as a sector.
Yeah.
So maybe the president will mention that as well and state some of the intentions her administration has in terms of the years to come.
Yeah. So the other, I think, prominent issues are water scarcity and food insecurity, which are persistent challenges in Namibia. So do you think this SONA will provide actionable solution for, especially for drought-stricken regions or so?
I would hope so. Because, like you said, this is a very crucial issue. Food security and food self-sufficiency is something absolutely crucial, and it's linked to the utilization of our dams. And of course, there is this really embarrassing example of a Neckartal dam that was built at great expense of over 5 billion Namibia dollars, and then doesn't have facilities for irrigation. So you have a dam that's been full for several years, but used for irrigation. Now that's counterproductive. You can't perceive to put up a dam and then not act on the irrigation schemes to allow large-scale agricultural production around that. And in other regions, the question of looking at dams and water collection points is crucial for survival. And in that sense, that would fall also under the agricultural ministry. Hopefully also the SONA will have some aspects on that as well, because in rural areas, this is still absolutely essential for people to find work and to make a living. And at national level, greater food self-reliance is something that's been talked about.
Yeah.
And we've moved to some extent with some of the irrigation schemes, like the Hadab one, and it has shown that it is possible. And it will be interesting in the SONA to see, is this aspect going to be elaborated further? Will we get some more details of what government intends to do?
Yeah. Yeah. The Namibians have really grown wary of political promises. What mechanism can this administration put in place to ensure transparency and accountability in implementing policies?
Yes, the transparency part, if there's a will to do that, is quite easy. You keep the public informed. You, when there are questions raised or suspicions emerge, you deal with them head on, and you provide all the necessary information. That part is quite simple.
Yeah.
But the public, like you said, also wants to see changes on the ground, and that's the more difficult part.
Yeah.
And it's not good enough to say, well, you have good intentions and what you want to do, we support, but we don't see it in our communities. We don't see it in our own lives. And that's where government needs to think, what are the steps can be taken to make a difference in the near future? Because you just can't tell people, wait another 10 years for this to show results. The livelihood situation of most Namibians is so dire today.
Yeah.
Something needs to be done that they can feel now. And there, in my view, there is nothing better at this point in time, very clearly nothing better than rolling out the universal basic income grant now, as it will have that impact in people's lives, and also aid all the other steps that taken to change the structure of the economy and to reignite a kind of local production for local needs.
Yeah. So one thing that the President Nandin Ndaitwa has been hailed about or described as as bold and transformative. Do you think she will take risk to challenge, you know, the entrenched system within the government, or adopt more kind of a cautious approach?
What we've seen from her so far is to show that she has courage, which maybe other politicians lack. The appointment of her cabinet was one such case in point, where she has clearly shown and said, we will not just continue.
Yeah.
And appointments are no longer just a reward for political or personal loyalty. That has been a problem for a long time, the kind of system of patronage, which meant people were appointed as a kind of a reward for their loyalty, not necessarily on the basis of competence and what they can do in their field. And that has come to haunt us. And it seems Nandin Ndaitwa is willing to tackle that issue and to say, well, from now on, it's based on delivery, and if you do not deliver, and if you don't perform, you are out. Again, this has been said before, performance agreements we've heard decades ago already, with little impact during implementation. So once again, this administration has now the disadvantage that they will be watched very closely, and expectations are high, and of course the patience to wait longer is low. And I think this is what they face, and it's a tough time, but they need to show some very practical changes in order to succeed.
Yeah. And how do you think Namibian will react to today's address? What key commitment are citizens hoping to hear?
Well, it's around, around these livelihood issues. What is in store for us in terms of a better life going forward? When people are chained down by unemployment and poverty, what is there that gives us some hope that things are going to change? What opportunities will be created for us to take in the years to come?
Yeah.
And that needs to be more concrete. With the nice speeches for the TV cameras we've had for a very long time, they don't make the difference in people's lives. So it will be not only the sauna, but also the step in terms of implementing the changes after the address.
Yeah. If the president is listening, what advice would you give the president as she prepare to step into the national spotlight today?
Well, I would advise her to remain courageous, to remain very focused on the changes she wants to bring about.
Yeah.
And relate that very openly, how that would translate into better livelihoods for Namibians in the years to come, and not shy away from admitting to some mistakes or false illusions of the past that will have to be rectified now. That's of course never easy for a ruling party.
Mm.
When you were government for 35 years, it's very difficult to say, well, we are in a crisis now, because everyone will ask, but you were part of the government.
Yeah.
How come you didn't avert the crisis to start with? So it's not easy. We must understand that background as well. But in terms of the changes, I hope she will be very clear and specific enough to give Namibians some hope that things will begin to change now.
All right. Anything else that you would like to add to our conversation this morning?
Well, let's hear what she will actually say.
Yeah.
Everything else is speculative. It will be interesting to listen to her today and then take discussion further.
Yeah. So, Mr. Herbert, it's always a pleasure having you here on Eagle FM, and thank you for making time to talk to us this morning.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, that was Mr. Herbert Jah, giving us, you know, what we might be expecting to be part of the sauna this afternoon. So when we come back, we open up our line and you may come through and have your comment or your opinion of our discussion.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff. Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsie Nehangano, the Osherero Omaimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Sengfuor Tierra, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-238-0063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you see?
So a very good morning to you. If you're just joining us, this is Unpacking of the Day. It is Sona today. So what are your expectations? What are your expectations? What are you hoping the president actually to address? So you may come as well, actually, and have your say on that. What is your own expectation? What do you think the issue that the president should address? And thanks. And we just had Mr. Halbert Jach, and we covered quite a number of things that he hoped that could be addressed through this. Welcome. Our telephone number is 08-333-66-091. 08-333-66-091.
Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Unpack of the Day. How are you, boss?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
I'm all right, too, my brother.
Yeah.
Yes, so not today.
Yeah. So what are your expectations?
It's a lot to ask.
Yeah. So that's actually what Mr. Jack said. Mr. Herbert said, you know, I think they are coming in an unfortunate time where people are tired and they kind of like, we want change, and our eyes now are on them, really. Yeah.
Yeah, very much.
Mm.
All eyes are on the president today.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm telling you. The thing is that, me, I expecting it to add, you, especially when it comes to you for any agreement. When it comes to our mineral rights, when it comes to housing, those two agriculture, my friends,
yeah.
There are so much. I think it's let me maybe say now we have a president at the right time, but maybe at a long time, because there are so much poverty around the country.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah. Then I think, my hope is that things need to be addressed, especially when it comes to food production. And the food production, especially when it comes to green scheme, I see there's so much happening now. We need more to increase more. And the moment you increase food production is where you are also elevating the youth unemployment.
Yeah.
Because they will get a job in that sector.
Mm.
Because we can rely on fallen aid every time. Like now we have a fraud situation. We have to take money out to go and buy the food for those people. So what about if we are having a green scheme all around producing food?
Mm.
Then we are able to have those food which has been stored somewhere to give it to the needs.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's something that if it's not a flood, it's drought. Yes. We know that already, you know. So for almost 10 years now, it's just an alternative. If it's not a drought, It's a flood. We know that that's going to happen. So we somehow need just to put up a system that help us, as you said, to store, you know, to secure our own food, knowing that, you know, to next year, it's going to repeat itself. If it's not a flood, it is drought, you know?
Exactly.
So, go ahead. Yeah.
The funny thing is that my friend just met him. We are kind of like, after 35 years, but I'm telling you, I don't know. I'm even challenging this because we don't know up to now if we are even having a diamond reserve in Namibia.
Mm.
The thing which are happening in Namibia, it's a major question mark. I'm telling you, don't be surprised that we don't have even a reserve of diamond or reserve of our uranium. Because the thing is the way we are learning it. So like one day thing, then tomorrow we must go and hand again.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
the other thing that one really have to, and this is what we as Namibian citizens, we have to think really seriously. And when we talk about accountability, it's also based on that fact. Now, do we believe our country is just as even richer than some other countries, for example? Now, do we believe that our country is just as equal as to, let's say for example, to Angola or something? If we do, Angola have about 38,000 or whatever, 38 million of people. Mm. And we have 3 million.
Yeah.
3 million?
Just
and And we can't, we are not even able to feed our own people.
My friend.
3 million, and we are not even able. We go around the world asking
for donations. Come on, guys.
There is seriously fundamentally wrong. It's shameful.
Really? So, you know why I'm saying that every time, wherever you read things that, like, we are in the second in the world. See, maybe it may even make us number one. Because we attach it too much in South Africa for South African production and so on. And look, unequal society. In the world where we have Ethiopia, where we have Somalia, come on, guys. We are in the second. And you are saying we Namibian, we are ungrateful for our opportunity we are getting. And you are just wondering, come on. And say as a leader, and then you come and say Namibia ungrateful. Because of you having a privilege which you get, or that opportunity. And now, using it against your own people. Just imagine, a country we support to be either a Sweden or Finland of Africa. I'm telling you. Because our population, and the root of look at our resources which we are having. And we've been crying even like, no, guys, why we cannot detect our man from South African land? Because we can use our natural resources. Let us put our money to even to fish. Fish, we know that everybody's needing Namibian fish. I'm telling you, we'll be richer like nobody business. But we are just scared of one thing that, you know, the bank, they will do. Come on, we can come up with our own thing. When are we going to rely ourselves? Our servicing, even, you know, sometimes a country like Singapore, what else, Nepal and the others, they just rely on what, human resource. They don't have anything. Some of them, those countries, they don't have any natural resource. But they're just a human resource alone. But we, come on, man, we can't just be like
It's like, you know, your salary of 100, you have a salary of 100 and you have 20 people in the house, and your neighbor, you have a salary of 100 and you have 3 people in the house. And actually the person that have 20 people in the house spend better, you know, that hundred salary than the one who actually had 3 people in the house. And now you pride yourself in certain things that you achieve compared to other countries when you have only about 3 people in the house to take care of.
My friend.
No.
You know the big insidness? Look at Botswana. Look at Botswana, then you look at ourselves. Botswana, they just have a diamond in the deep. And you know these people, they are selling to UK and the others, but they are getting hanging out with a buffalo.
Yeah.
They will tell you, no, food and mouth is enough. Yeah. come on, guys, man. No. These are things which are depraving. We are not going anywhere because we are depraving other people to take off, to get opportunity.
Yeah.
And we don't see that. When you are blocking, you like, no, the red line, you cannot remove it because of what? Foot and mouth disease. In the day where the people are having a hectare of like what? 20 hectares, it cannot even qualify to get a loan for the bank. Those are things which I think we need to start addressing. We need to start putting up policy. Then we can even come, this I'm saying, if they cannot remove a red line, then there's no much like a meat going to the north, or some product even like macaroni. You can use Angola. Why not? Because that is a market itself. If you cannot trade it to each other country, why we also cannot take opportunity Angola present to us? Oil from Angola, which you call Timungola, it can fill up the service at the north. Why should we just, come on, man. We need to address this issue. And when I'm looking at the president now for Sona, I'm hoping the president will come with even some policy which are addressing the issue of housing, the issue of agriculture, the issue of youth unemployment.
Yeah.
Those things we can really I think we can do it. If Burkina Faso can do it within 2 years, who are we not going to not do it with 300 million people?
Mm.
If Burkina Faso even having a large number of net people, but the way they are, you can see that there's a progress taking place. But it's ours, we are just in lip service. I don't want lip service this year, guys. Everything is about to be different.
Yeah.
This one come to even for medicine in the hospital. This, we can even have a direct supplier, like people who are working inside the ministry. Why should we tender even glove and condoms? Things which is supposed to be made in Namibia.
Mm.
We can buy machinery and then we bring those. Then we start. There used to be a something for condoms.
Nasoma.
Nasoma. What happened to that Nasoma?
Yeah.
Huh? And now we are taking our money to go and buy outside. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Those are policy, direct policy, I think the president needs to call out. Any form for government or nurse or whatever you need to be produced in Namibia. So people can get a job. You are crying here, but you are giving your natural resource out without additional value.
Mm.
We are talking about timbers. We are talking about even stones, which we are sending to China and so over. Those things are supposed to be done locally. At least our youth can have employment.
Yeah.
And please, when it comes also to foreigners, I think it's a time also to start integrating the way Namibian are qualified, especially when it comes to nursing and so on. I'm not really targeting anybody, but I think the brother from Jim, it's time to go also. They are all over.
Yeah.
Starting from Minister of Transport, Minister of Transport, Minister of Education,
yeah.
Minister of Health. They are so overcrowded that area, and we have qualified people now, which are in the streets.
Exactly.
Let me leave it for other people, my brother.
All right. No, thank you for coming through and for your contribution.
All right.
All right. Yes, today is the sauna. What does a prosperous future look like for Namibia? And what solution do you hope to hear from the president? And what's your priority for the speech? And what do you expect the president to address? Good afternoon. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Morning, Mr. Michael.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you today?
I'm okay. I'm always fine. Yeah.
That's good. I'm always fine, too.
Yeah.
Well, with our meme, I say that not out of disrespect, but I'm an African man.
Yeah.
Any elderly woman would be my mother. I am just here to say that look, it has presented some sort of window of opportunity for us having her. It's almost, I'm saying, it will almost equate to having a young president. The way we would celebrate a younger president in the seat, I think it's almost equating to the fact that we now have a lady president.
Mm.
New set of eyes, new set of ears. So
yeah.
In her dress, I am also advocating that she should not hold back. She must say things that make sense.
Yeah.
Not necessarily as good a good speech. She must not be afraid to call on her own fellows and say, guys, we've been doing these things in reverse for this entire time. It's time to do it differently.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter whether it had some politicians or her fellow politicians. It doesn't matter at all. She must not be afraid to start over. This is one of the things I think most African countries are afraid to do.
Mm.
Yeah. There is no need to have a skyscraper that has 150 floors. Just so that we can look like Dubai. When we are not at that level of Dubai, we don't need to be there.
Yeah.
Let's start over. Let's break whatever things we have in place. Let's start over. Be it financial, be it economical, be it whatever. Even if the national development goals that we have set in place before, if we are not really addressing our national interests, let's break them and let's start over.
Yeah.
Mm. And Meme should not be afraid to mention these things just because she will hurt the feelings of some people. She should really, this is her regime. She should really lead as the leader that she is.
Yeah. You are the president of Solapur, you are the president of the country, so all the power actually rests within you.
Yes.
And you have a right to make decisions that actually suit or for the benefit of your people, really. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. And then at the same time, when we look at other things, especially those colonial laws that are still actually implicating both us as individuals and the government as a whole, we need to relook also in those laws. One of them being your red line thing that has been coming all along, that we know that it shouldn't even be there in the first place.
Mm.
But there are many measures that we can take into place or put into place to actually address it. Why should macaroni come from Windhoek and go to the north, but the meat cannot come from the north back to Windhoek?
Yeah.
Why should they export chicken to the north and then we can't do the same? We have better chicken, we have healthier chicken in the north growing every day. But then they want us to eat this badly produced chicken on a daily basis just because some politicians perhaps have interest in these companies that have set up these shops.
Yeah, I was even yesterday asking, you know, when you look at Easter, you know, when you have actually people now coming to weigh the buying power or during a period of time, our black people's shops are closed. Starting Friday to Monday, our black people are closed, market like, you know, Pick and Pay, ShopRite, and these are not open, and this is where we bring money, millions and millions during this time of the year, while our shops are closed. What kind of a policy are these, you know, that actually pushes people to become more poor? Your local people actually not be able to trade over the weekend where we have more opportunity to trade, but then, you know, our shops are closed. Are you gone?
Can you hear me?
Okay. I can hear you now. Yeah.
Well, again, these are one of those policies that sits around our closets that can be reviewed
exactly.
And relooked at and see how do we maximize in times like this. Why? What is an ordinary person doing in days like this, and what is the richest person doing on days like this? This is why I have an issue celebrating independence somehow. Not to say I don't value what our fallen heroes have done for us, but I just feel that one group is being dragged to the soccer field to go and eat food.
Yeah.
And then there is not really account to what has happened throughout the year or a previous year leading to the Independence Day. We are not really sitting down and saying, taking account, you know, of things that might have gone wrong and say, okay, fine, let's correct it. We are not looking at independence saying that, okay, fine, what can we actually do extra beyond this independence? We have, you know, fallen hospitals. We have government systems that can't even stay alive because they are poorly managed.
Yeah.
How are we not using our Independence Day to actually, you know, put something on the table and say, let's look at our balances and have we actually met our objectives as we wanted to. And then, again, Meme should just really lead. I do not want to take much time here.
Yeah.
I just want Meme to be her own person. It's time. It's time. Really, it's time. The reason why there are coups in other countries is not because they just want to lead. I think Ibrahim is one of those great examples for now.
Yeah.
He's just not really interested in power as such. He's actually interested in making the difference. And I'm saying Meme should actually be the one to make that difference.
Yeah.
I have attended a meeting one time where Meme specifically said that this tender should not go to Chinese, it should go to Namibian companies. Such decisions should be made.
Yeah.
If you are going to call a spade, call it. Why not? Just call it.
Yeah.
So I'm not interested in these fancy speeches that make people clap, and then the ordinary people are like, what are you saying? We don't even understand.
Mm.
Speak English. Really, speak English so that everybody can understand and really come back and see. Like, put yourself in a position where you can be held accountable.
Yeah.
In this, you can correct yourself at the end of the day. Thank you, Mr. Michael.
Thank you for coming through.
Sure.
All right. Very good morning to you. Our time is about 38 minutes past the hour of 8. And today, we're looking specifically on the sauna that we are expecting the president will deliver this afternoon. And we're asking, what does a prosperous future look like for the country, for Namibia? And what solution do you hope to hear from the president? And what are what priorities you of the speech? What should be the priority of that address? And basically, what do you expect the president to address? You know, those are some of the questions that you. When you come through, maybe try to answer as well. We want to know from yourself, what is that you expect? What do you expect the president to address? What is that you need to see? What are the changes that you need to see in her a State of Nations address today? So our telephone number is 08333-66091, 08333-66091. So once you dial that number, you get to me and I put you in the air. So our telephone number again, 08333-66091. All right. So, yeah. So now, what I wanted something to do, I did something, you know. Maybe let's also look at, some of the State of Nations address by, Nangolo Mbumba, by former President Nangolo Mbumba. Looking at what were the promises made? And this would help you actually, and I think this would help you to pay attention to certain things. Some things that were preached. I mean, if this is a continuation of what the government, a previous administration was doing, what are some of the things that you can pay attention to? And I'm specifically looking at Nangolo Mbumba's State of Nation address. So looking at some of the promises that were made, and what I want you to do actually is really just paying attention to some of these issues, to some of these pressing issues, and even ask what happened. Is there a continuation of some of these issues, or are we completely focusing on something different? And remember, the main developing policy, as it from previous administration, was the Harambe prosperity plan. Two, I think, yeah, the last one is two. And it has different pillars. There are different pillars in that development plan. So yeah, you can compare that also then with you can also look at the Harambe prosperity plan. Number two, and also you can then look at also the Swapo Party, the Swapo Party manifesto implementation plan to see, is this a continuation of the previous, administration? Do we see that continuation? And that's what we would like to see as well, if there is any continuation for that. One, I would like to highlight some really important, and this is actually, in front of me, I have now the state of address of President Mbumba. So, and I want to look at some of the of the issues that highlighted them. So yeah, and I'm just reading exactly what we say. I'm not going to read his speech. I'm just highlighting some of the things that I think are very important to discuss about and to pay attention to, and not just discuss about, but to pay attention to in today's state of national address, in today's SONA. So one of the things is the effective governance, which is also part of the priority that this administration is actually pushing very hard. So through effective governance, we promote responsive processes, a system, and accountable institution in the public sector to accelerate the national development plan towards Vision 2030. So what Mbumba was saying here is actually that we need to accelerate the national developing plans by putting, you know, here now, he just said promoting, not really being specific what kind of system that were put in place actually to accelerate that. So we should be able to see what are the system, what are the processes maybe that can be put in place or in place to accelerate the national developing plans. That was from Bumbas. I'm just highlighting some of this for you to pay attention to today's SONA as well, to see if.
Do you urgently need cash and happen to own a car? Creditors delaying and contractors need to be paid? When life throws you a rainy day, AutoCash got your back. Park your car and get up to 45% of its value within 45 minutes. No payslip, no bank statement, just the car. Moolah when you need it. Call us today on 061-400-676. That is 061-400-676. AutoCash, it's that simple.
All right, welcome back from that commercial break. Yeah, so let's look at some of the... You may come through. You're most welcome to come through. Our telephone number, I have a discussion with Mr. Herbert Young. We were looking at what could be, you know, what are the pressing issues, socioeconomic issues that might be part of the SONA this afternoon. So we really went into depth in looking at some of the aspect and really provided in-depth analysis on current challenges and pressing issues that are confronting Namibia at this point in time. So, and at this point in time, I have the SONA. The state of address by the President Mbumba, former President. I want to just to go back to see, is there any continuation? What I'm trying to do is just highlight certain aspect, and for you to be able now to see, is there any changes when you listen to the SONA this afternoon, or read the speech at the end later on, be able to see. Is there any changes or is there any continuation? Are we continuing on promises that we made in previous from the previous administration, or are we completely actually going, you know? And what about this and this? Now the one of the of the things that the President Mbumba mentioned was the strengthening national anti-corruption mechanism, where we have made, this is what he said, we have made significant strides in the rollout of the National Anti-Corruption Strategy and Action Plan 2021-2025, with 87 out of 95 actions implemented. So to ensure a speed access to justice, 37 community courts have been established by the Ministry of Justice, effective from February 2024. Those are some of the things
Yeah, so what is the anti-corruption strategy action plan? I think there are a couple of objectives there. There are objectives in that, and then in that objectives you have also the action that needed. I don't want to go through all those actions and see what, but there's something that you can go through as well yourself. Check it out, the National Anti-Corruption Strategy and Action Plan of 2021-2025. It's a very not a lengthy document, but it gives you some of the strategic an action plan for ACC, for Anti-Corruption Commission, and it has a number of objectives and with actions that what need to be done. So yeah, that would be very, very, very helpful also to see what is failed to do based on the objectives and based on its own strategic and action plan of 2021-2025. So yeah, that would be very interesting to go through. So the other thing, which is also part of a new administration, which has been a priority of new administration, is actually improved performance and service delivery, something that was also emphasized by Nangoro Mbumbo and I think Hage Geingob's government. The rollout of the public performance management system is fostering a culture of citizen-centered service delivery. So the e-government procurement and strategy is intended to improve transparency, accountability in the public procurement system. So there are two things here. One is the public performance management system, which has been established to foster a culture of citizen-centered service delivery. Has it been working? Is that system, has it been working? Has it been effective? And there is also the e-government procurement, EGP strategy, is also intended to improve transparency and accountability in public procurement system, and how effective this system have been implemented in the government. So those are some of the things that were mentioned during the. I'm just going back a little bit to see if there is anything that we can pay attention to and listen to in the Sona today that would, you know, that we can focus on and see whether there's any difference in the way we're moving forward this time. When we're looking at enabling policies and legislation, you know, this was also what Mbumba have said at that time. Government prioritized the tabling of parliament of 7 enabling policies and laws. Those namely the Namibian Equitable Economic Empowerment Bill, those are Bill, Access to Information Bill, Land Reform Bill. A Land Reform Bill come a long way, really. And also, Mr. Herbert mentioned that as well today. Namibia Investment Promotion and Facilitation Bill. We have the Namibian Informal Economic and Entrepreneurship Policy and Attendant Bill. You have Cybercrime Bill. You have the Data Protection Bill, you know. And he said, at that time, he said, it is my hope and expectation that these important bills will be promulgated before the end of the year. That was not the case. I can tell you what I did. I went also to check how many of them that were actually out of those one. It's only one that is actually promulgated and that has become a law, promulgated as the Access to Information Act in December 2022. So Access to Information Bill, that's the only one that has been promulgated. The rest of them, Namibia Equitable Economic Empowerment, not yet, but it's still being finalized. Not yet. It's not even tabled or passed.
So, and then we, the land reform bill, not promulgated. So tabled in March 2025. This has been actually tabled, pending now parliamentary approval and promulgation. It's not promulgated yet. It's not made law yet. And that's a very important bill, land reform bill. And then you have the Namibia Investment Promotion and Facilitation Bill. It's not yet promulgated in drafting and is expected 2024-25. Not yet a law, but it's, it should be probably tabled this year. So this was supposed to be, most of this is supposed to be by last year already, either tabled or, you know, approved, you know, go through the parliament, yeah, and made laws. So, but not yet. Information Economic Entrepreneurship Policy Bill, policy and bill. So not, there's not even evidence whether that's, I don't know even what's going on with that one. No information confirming promulgation. And cybercrime bill is also not promulgated. No, there's also not information confirming about that. And data protection bill so as well. So all of this bill and policies, only the access to information bill has been promulgated into a law. Others are either still in draft, pending parliamentary approval or lack of sufficient public information to confirm their promulgation as of April 2025. So, yeah. Now, that's one thing that you can look at. Pay attention to some of those, to those laws as well, because they are very, very, very important law, especially cyber bills and what are other laws? Data protection bills, cyber crime bills. We have already experiencing cyber attack and all that. And some experts said because of the lack of a cyber crime bill, there is a problem effectively actually addressing issue of cyber attacks. So because there are no policy, there are no guidelines. So yeah, these are policies that are very important. Let's see if that, that comes, maybe the president would, you know, mention some of this bill and prioritize, them, into promulgating them into law. Yeah, and Bumba also talk about the SME financing strategy, SME. I thought that's something maybe very important. In recognizing, this is what he said, in recognition of the important role that SME play in creating employment and spreading economic benefit widely, government has continued investing in the SME financing strategy, all right? So which are the strategies? So which received 40 million Namibian dollar at the end of October 2023? Now, through, this is now the strategy. So this is now the strategy is that they continue financing, investing in SME financing through now, through First National Bank and Standard Bank, through First National and Standard Bank under the credit guarantee scheme. So this is where now the, you know, the financing of SME goes, and this is the strategy. Has that been effective? If you're an SME out there, you know, has this been effective? And given that these are the institutions that have actually stringent and strict rules that make it difficult for actually SME to access finance, you know, and fund from this institution. So this is that strategy. Should we see a different approach maybe that would eventually make it easy for many of the SMEs and to be able to access finance. And additionally, the Ministry of Finance transferred 8.5 million to Developing Bank of Namibia to roll out mentorship and coaching program. Has that been done? Has that been done? So those were some of the funds that goes into actually either strengthening the either availing making a funders available to SME, or also building capacity for SME as well. So, but you know, I'm just bringing out there just for you to see what were the strategies that has been used in actually funding and building capacity for SME. Now, similarly, he said, to promote local empowerment and employment creation, the code of good practice on preference was approved. What is the code of good practice? Let me see that, what it is. So the code of good practice on preference is a policy instrument used in Namibia public procurement system to promote national preference for local content supply. So it is designed to give a preferential treatment to certain categories of Namibian suppliers, such as local manufacturers, small and medium enterprises. You know, we come back.
Step right up to ShopRite's Big Low Price Carnival, where the deals are big and the savings are even bigger. Get show-stopping deals like 4kg Real Good frozen mixed chicken portions for only 199 Namibian dollars 99. That's a big deal. And 10kg Top Score Super Maize Meal for a low 124 Namibian dollars 99. Valid until 4 May 2025. Don't miss out on these unbelievable savings and more at the Big Low Price Carnival, only at ShopRite. Plus, stand to win one of 220 trolley dashes. Simply buy any three participating products and stand to win with ShopRite's Big Low Price Carnival. Competition ends 8 June. T's and C's apply.
Welcome back. And today we're focusing on the sauna. And we have Mr. Herbert Schoch today on the program. And we went a little bit deeper into issues that we're hoping or expecting to be addressed or being the focus of a nation address this afternoon. Yeah. So, what are you expecting? What are the priorities that you're expecting to see in today's the state of nations address, and what is your, or what are you hoping, what changes do you hope to see through this address this afternoon? So yeah, you may come through. As I said, our telephone number is 08333 66091, 08333 66091. You're welcome to come through and also express your, what you expect, and what you're looking for forward to today's, sauna. So, yeah, and at the moment, I was just actually looking, I'm going back a little bit, going to the last sauna that was actually done by, the former president, Nangoro Mbumba, and look at certain aspect that maybe you know continue in today's sauna as well, but also looking at this aspect that you need to look out or to see if there's a continuation or there's completely a new shift or focus from the new administration. So now I was talking about that, where Nangoro Mbumba also was talking about that, to promote local empowerment and employment creation, the code, of good practice on preference was approved. And do you know about this? Do you know about the code of good practice and preference? So because this code of good practice, on preference it's actually about the promote national preference for local content supplier. So the whole, it is designed actually to give preferential treatment to certain categories of Namibian suppliers, such as now local manufacturer, small and medium enterprises, previous disadvantaged persons, and also women and youth-owned enterprise. So when it comes now to public entities procuring good work or services. So, and did you know that? So, because if you knew, you could actually, you know, demand sometimes when actually the work or services are actually given to foreign companies or something like that. So there is that code of good practice on preference that it's a guidelines, it's a policy that actually, force national preference for local content suppliers. So yeah, part of that went into the this is something that actually the new president and the cabinet actually to the larger extent has been actually focusing on some that look we need to focus on our local manufacturers, small and medium enterprises, and those previously disadvantaged youth and women, you know, to procure goods, works and services. So, yeah, that's one aspect. Now, when it comes to, he also talked about investment promotion, which I think the Ministry of Industrial Tradition and Trade, and as well as I think the Namibian Investment Promotion and Development Board, the NIPDB, I think have really played a very crucial role in promoting promoting the domestic and foreign investment to diversify Namibia's economy. So I think that has been done properly. We see some as a consequences of that, as a result of that, we see quite a number of investment flocking to Namibia, especially when it comes to renewable energy, green hydrogen and all that, oil and gas. So in those sectors we see really Namibia has been promoted quite well. So I think maybe that's something that one have also to see whether that continues. And then the oil and gas in 2023, this is what Mbumba have said now. In 2023, Namibia experienced a surge in oil exploration activities from international oil companies, specifically in the promising oil-rich basins, including Wabash Bay Basin and also Orange Basin. So, and he said, we expect firmer estimates of recoverable reserves to be announced this financial year. So how many has been announced? Not many though. One thing, there is the total energies have it's actually doing consultation already. They did somewhere in Lidris or something like that. They did in Lidris. They also did a consultation in Windhoek yesterday on the Venice Oil project. I think that's what it's called. So that's the only one I have heard when it comes to when it comes now to recoverable reserves to be announced. They announced that there are certain amount of what is that production that they can do per days? And I can't remember the article now. I think we had an article on that. Yeah, so, yeah. And then the green high industrialization, that's also something that he talked about. So the green ammonia market is expected to reach 70% growth by 2030. This year, pilot project for green hydrogen, green ammonia, and green iron production will produce initial output for the first time. I think there is quite a good progress in those areas. We have seen some launch of some plants and also I think some production in some green project and green hydrogen project. So yeah, I think there's quite a good, we want to see, there's a massive change within the renewable energy. Yes, there's something in SWAPO implementation plan. In terms of, but there isn't much on green industry, industrialization, really. There isn't really much. All right. So what is the other thing? The other things maybe that you can also pay now. Pay also attention to what would she say about green and industrialization. When it comes to green energy, what would she say? What is that we, what are we expecting? Let's also pay attention to what she's going to say about that as well. So the consolidation of social grant and food bank, this was now, and I'm just going back to Mbumba, at least just to see, to highlight some aspect, to see whether there will be any difference. So the furthermore, government has allocated 3.4 billion to a social safety net this financial year. The old age social grant and the disability grant have been further increased from 1.4 to 1.6. Maybe that's something that we also need to look out, whether there will be still an increase into the social grant and old age pension as well. Gengob, former president Gengob promised actually this to go up to 3,000 by this time already. So maybe something that Nandine Daito look at it, pay attention to that as well, if there will be any increase in a social grant for the old people and disabilities. All right. The other, our time, it's 11 o'clock. Not 11 o'clock. 11 minutes past the hour of 9. So you are most welcome to come through and share your views. So what we're looking, today we're specifically looking at the sauna. I had Mr. Jack this morning and have an interview with him. My question to you is basically, you know, for you, what is your, you know, what do you, my question is, what does a prosperous future look like for you? You know, for the country, what does it look like? What solution do you hope to hear, from the president? Is there specific solutions you're looking for, something that need to be addressed? And what are your priorities that you want to see from the president's speech? You know, things that you want him to address or you want her to address, and also what you expect the president actually to address in a sauna this afternoon. So you're welcome. You can come through. Telephone number again, 0833-66091.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsi Nehangano, the Osherero Omaimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Selfwoord Tierra, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-238-0063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
Yes, welcome back. And if you're just joining us, our time is 14 minutes past the hour of 9. And unpacking goes up to 11. What happened to me today? So what is going on with me? I'm thinking of 11. What's going to happen at 11? Why am I at 11 already? All right, we go up to until 9:30. So you still have some minutes actually to come through and have your opinion and your contribution on the program.
Step right up to ShopRite's Big Low Price Carnival, where the deals are big and the savings are even bigger. Get show-stopping deals like 100 Joko Strong Quality Tea Bags for only $52.99 per pack. That's a big deal. And 5 kg Marathon Brown Sugar for a low $89.99. Valid until 4 May 2025. Don't miss out on these unbelievable savings and more at the Big Low Price Carnival, only at ShopRite. Plus, stand to win one of 220 trolley dashes. Simply buy any 3 participating products and stand to win with ShopRite's Big Low Price Carnival. Competition ends 8 June. T's and C's apply.
All right. So welcome back. You know, as I said, I went back to former president, Dr. Nangoro Mbumba's State of the Nation address. Sona? I didn't sound right there. Look at some of the aspects, some of the issues or areas that he focused on his address, just to see if there will be, just to help you actually to focus as well on things that you can maybe pay attention to see if there are, if there's a continuation and or addressing the promises that coming from the previous administration, it's the same, still the same government anyway. Yeah. So,
Egan FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, I'd like also to come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said maybe people are so busy, they're waiting for someone paying their license to check your son. TV license.
Yeah.
So, you know, my brother, you touch so many important things with some bill with them. Up to now, they are not been active.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I think the most important one is about the land reform.
Mm. Yeah,
and the SME.
So.
Yeah, SME and the promotion of Namibia. You know, when it comes to land reform, I think, I don't know really why we don't set up even a committee now to address this issue.
Yeah.
Like just like the committee where they set up for the Sakishangala, the one which they use.
Yeah,
to get away with. So, but seriously, I'm looking at this. When it comes to land, I'm telling my brother, majority of us, maybe about 50% Namibian, we are homeless. But why I'm saying so? Because most of us, people are lending.
Yeah.
And some of us, we are setting the premises of what? The land of what? Owned by municipality. You can be evicted anytime.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
In the any moment where our informal settlement, wherever you settle, and if it's not,
yeah,
if you don't have the
exactly,
you can't even build. You can't even build there because you don't know whether you will be there. You know.
I'm telling you, that's the problem.
Yeah.
And I'm saying this government is the one, because remember one thing: the son of the later president. He still want to get rid of what? The Basho. And it's a sentiment with the former president also sell Master Nangolo Mumba, and the current president. Mm-hmm. They are all saying they want to get rid of the Basho and the poverty.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes the policy which they are coming up with, it is not necessarily addressing the issue of
for
them to address.
But Mandume, seriously, mm-hmm, now, sometimes putting political away, it's part of it, actually. You can't put it away. So
yeah,
when we're looking at this seriously, what is actually the problem? Given when we're looking at our people, when you're looking at our people actually suffering from renting, you know, is it a lack of political will? Is it other
syndrome?
Yeah, not really syndrome. I can't find the word. It's something within the system, entrenched in the system that we can't be able to change. You know,
yeah.
Or is it a lack of money? Because then to service the land and what is actually? It has been for people as who is this Zimbabwean guy who came? People went to fight for land, and up to now, it's even worse. The majority of people still don't own land, just a piece of land. People are not asking to own farms, but
no, exactly.
Just a piece of land where they feel, you know, this is, I own this, and I can do whatever I want with this, you know.
Exactly. The thing is the political will and the absence of quality leadership.
Yeah.
What I'm saying so is because, my friends, we see individual person doing it. It's what I'm saying. If a traveler can do it, who are we that cannot do it? Yeah. Because I'm looking at Namibia. Namibia is very peaceful.
Mm.
And I think our leaders are getting away with it because most of us, we don't realize that when we are having even Hamaloka, but you are living in Mbashu, you can evict at any time.
Yeah.
Or you find yourself having a maloka, but you are lending to somebody's premises. The moment you lose your job, you lose everything.
Exactly.
You are evicted, you are going to sleep in your maloka in the pavement. And most of us, we don't see that way. Because the system also is playing important role when it comes to these things. Because the moment you want to buy a vehicle, they can... I'm telling you, they can even, the one who are telling you, go to this garage, and they can put up everything but once you want to acquire the property,
yeah,
it's always complicated. The lawyer needed to get even involved.
Yeah, definitely.
You see now, the thing also is a system, but our leaders, they know what they are doing. They are the one who are owning those properties of renting. That's why if they give majority housing, they know they are going to lose their income.
Yeah.
And this is what they are doing. Because now look, for us, it's better to say, no, guys, even in services cannot really take up much money the way we are saying it's too expensive and so on.
Yeah.
No. You just put up a receiver like a window, like a place like window. It's having a lot of mundane. When you put up a receiver at a what? Highest mundane, there. It can channel water everywhere.
Yeah.
When you are talking about even drainage. Drainage, you put up well lower, what? Grade, I mean, where you can see that it can channel all the what? The pipeline where the is a lower what? Lower, I can put it lower, like where put it where the drainage, I mean the big drainage where all the water can flow backwards.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at what window, because now if you say we want to get a right of passage, you cannot get a right because there are so many even modern housing now. I'm talking about even commercial alone. And when I'm looking at this thing, municipality, they just come to come up with a policy. They say, no, I'll give you 5 years. A title deed. If you didn't build, I'll take it, I'll revoke it, and I'll give it to somebody else.
Exactly.
I'm telling you, people, today I'll buy bricks. Tomorrow I'll buy cement. The next day, I build a car for even one car room. My friend, give me 2 years. You see that the car, that house, you find even upstairs.
But you have to understand how much people pay in the rent, in the renting that they where they are. It's quite a lot of money.
Yes, you're renting for
5 years is even a long time. You know, if you give them 2-3 years, they will be.
I'm telling you, my brother, our brother and sister, we are lending for 17 a month in our bridge. 17 a month somewhere in Green Coupe. Just imagine. Yeah. If you are paying off your own property, do you think you cannot even tune it the way you want it every time with that money which you are giving somebody else in your pocket?
Mm.
And when you die in that place of with that person, your kids the next month will be evicted.
Yeah. I mean, it's a system that actually pushes people to rent, you know, generation after generation, and only people who have money can own land in Namibia. As simple as
I'm
that.
I'm telling you.
So they own land in Windhoek. They own land in every town.
Every town, my friend.
You know,
even in the communal, they are the one who are putting fence.
Yeah,
that's why our cattle cannot graze anywhere anymore because.
And
the honorable is having a big fence all over.
And
even where the cattle used to grazing in Oceania is covered now with fence.
Yeah, and there must be a law that says, look, if you have already a house in Windhoek, you can't have another property here, you know?
It's about to be like that.
Yeah, so there should be a law, because otherwise it's just who has the money. If you don't, then definitely forget. Huh?
Forget about, yeah.
Exactly.
And then tomorrow you say, no, one Namibia, one nation. How? How are you going to say that if we are the one who are unequal when it comes to the world? We are the second. And a lot of them, they will say, no, it's a lie. That something is not telling the truth. But look at ourselves. So greedy.
And the model that's being used by Namibia is not working at all. And that's what actually Herbert have said, that willing seller.
Willing buyer, willing seller.
At all. It's not working.
It's not working.
Yeah.
And this willing buyer, willing seller, what the government is about to come up with that policy, which I'm saying, they're addressing the land issue, a committee, my friends, put up even a high place. That's because they might sell it forcefully to you, to beg to government.
Yeah.
Because the moment the government acquired that, they want to buy the farm, this person is even, if it was like a 4 million, he's saying 8 million. And the government, they come, okay, we are ready, we are going to buy it. Now he says 16. It's always the price going up.
Mm.
Because he doesn't want to sell. And then now, how can you have a Namibian who doesn't even have a 300 square, but you have a Namibian who having what? 1,000 square, 1,000 hectares for farm.
But you're going far away. You look even in urban land. You look at when you talk about Ndangwa or Shakati, where you know when they're removing, you know, the people that are closer to where that has now proclaimed as a town. So when they remove those fields, you know, those house fields and house and their fields, you know, a house and the field, you could, you're not even given less than half, you're probably given less than half a million, you know? Less than half a million. Less than half a million. And imagine in that house there are probably 10 or 11, you know, people that are born in that house, siblings and families that lived in that house. And these are adults we're talking about. So I'm now you move away this from that, from their house and from their field, and you actually haven't provided them. Now you give them less than 500,000. What are you going to build with now? These are
500,000.
What are you going to build with
that? That's even a lot of money. That is even a lot of money, my friend. But go to the Elana city, then you ask those people how much they get from Elana city. You'll be crying, my friend. And these people, this housing, I mean, land which you are talking about, it's been taking care from the ancestor to what, to granddad to for a lot of generations. Mm. And they will just come there and then we will evacuate, I mean, take the people from the land, and they will leave them. Later on, when you find them, they are what? They become a street, what? Sleeping in the street. You are the one who complains, no, you guys are too much moving into the town, but you find the people there.
Yeah.
It's not the same way you are crying about the sand people. Why always them? They are only one, what? In the street, beauty, you are the one who come to the people. And they didn't make any arrangement at all.
Yeah.
When you are, I mean, buying this land, where you are going to take them or what are you going to do with them? Nothing.
Yeah.
It's an issue. But serious, when it comes to this land reform, and we need to a policy redirecting to them, like, because we can't tell us that in the north we are having a lease of 99 years, and the government can come anytime when they say want to put a road. Either you take it or leave it, they will force you to remove you. No, we want to say have to take title deed in the north.
Yeah.
Just the same way people are enjoying their trespassing when you are passing the farm here.
All right, no, actually, we have come to the end of the show as well. Yeah.
All right. Well, let us hope things will be better today for Sona.
Exactly. So we're looking forward, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Great afternoon. All right, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, that brings us to the end of our Unpacking the Day this morning. And let's hope she will walk the talk. And let's see what actually is in store for us this afternoon. We will know the direction of which this administration is going. So let's meet us there, and we'll meet again tomorrow morning, maybe reflecting back on some of the issues that are coming out of the SONA this afternoon. So yeah, from me, have a very pleasant day ahead, and please stay tuned to the next program that is coming up, Mind the Gap with Helmut. Goodbye and see you tomorrow.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha, with the Kiroka Guna, Imatin.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.